Good evening, one and all. Hey, Sunday, I know. And this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. You know, I was talking to somebody, a science fiction person. We're talking about things of science fiction stuff we've seen on television. I can remember the very first Doctor Who, for instance, like that old, you know. And we were talking about Star Trek, the original Star Trek, and how things that were there and futuristic are now a matter of fact. I mean, the sliding doors all over the place, the whoosh-whoosh sliding doors and that. Communicators. You look at that and then you think, mobile phone. Piece of cake. Captain's log. He's signing stuff on a tablet these days. The only thing we haven't got is the transportation thing, but you never know. The way that goes, you never know. But people say hindsight is a great thing. I think foresight's a great thing. It would be even better if you knew what was happening like that. My guest today, he's not only written non-fiction stuff about it, but he's got a couple of fiction novels about futuristic type stuff. But we'd better introduce him, don't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only, I add, because I've never come across that one, Jim Mesquera. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Hey.
How's things with you today?
They're very good, sir. How are you?
I'm not bad. We've actually had a little bit of sunshine today. As people know, I've got another year. A bit more in a year, but next October 2018, I'm going back to England. And so one of the things I've got to do, obviously, is we've got between ourselves and like parents and stuff like that, we've got about 40 years of stuff in the house, and there's no way we can take it with us to England. So I've got a year to clear, as they say. So every other week is a tag sale in this house. And yesterday I got all the stuff out for a tag sale, all nicely out on the tables and all the signs up and everything. Then it rained. So I put all the stuff back in, put it in boxes, got it back in the garage, and then the sun came out. So I took it all out again. But today would have been a nice day to have, because it's been a lovely day. I said at the beginning, fiction and non-fiction, because you do write both.
Yeah, that's correct. The non-fiction series is under the label of Escaping Oz. There's three books there. And the fictional series is configured under the name Chandler Scott. Chandler Scott is the protagonist of three novels that kind of look into the near United States.
Right, I did say, you know, about foresight and that, because with your non-fiction stuff, there's a lot of stuff that you saw, that the coming of the bursting of the market bubble and that sort of thing.
Yeah, when I wrote my first Escaping Oz book right around 2011, it was really kind of on the backside of the 2008 financial crisis. There was a recovery, obviously, that had already started in 2009. But I knew, I guess in the back of my mind, that we weren't quite through the crisis yet. And so in 2015, I created a book called Escaping Oz, Navigating the Crisis, to try to prepare people to deal with, again, the continuation of the financial crisis, which probably seems mass for many people. For others, they're clearly clicking. And this year, actually about 2-3 weeks ago, I released the latest Escaping Oz book called An Observer's Reflections. And that one is probably less about economics and financial investments, and as the title implies, it's a lot of my observations and things. And some of them, you know, deal with economic topics. Some of them deal with governmental topics. Some of them political topics, obviously, which are very much
right. With the economic thing, I mean, you know, you hear all the time. Or don't put it in the stock market, put it in gold, you know, these sort of things. Is there any way we can prepare ourselves better this time, diversifying things, etc.?
Probably the best way to prepare for most people, and when I say most people, I try to delineate between investors and traders. And investors is really most people. Most people rather have some money to invest, put it somewhere, be able to sleep at night, and X amount of time later, look at your brokerage statement, smile, and be happy about it. Unfortunately, those days are not with us right now, because we have such low interest rates, courtesy of central bankers all over the world, that it's very, very difficult to say, I'm going to put money in the bank, I'm going to earn some nominal amount of interest, and a year later I can look at my balance and it'd be larger. I think most would rather have that sort of approach, but instead, what's happened is low interest rates, it's caused individuals, funds, which is a very important case, actually doing what's called chasing yield. And chasing yield means you're going after more risky investments. And this is that when those investments start to unwind and the bubble starts to pop and unwind, it's going to be a rush. So one of the things I advocate, my second Escaping Oz book, Navigate, is that people really need to don't swing for the fences here. You need to take some defensive positions.
Okay. Obviously, with that part of your nonfiction stuff, did you sort of then think, hey, you know, I know we've got this now, but I can make this into a novel or a series of novels. Is that sort of what led you to write your fictional stuff?
Yeah, it's a very prescient comment on your part, too, Barry, because after I wrote my second book, I made some comments to people about wanting to increase the readership, obviously, of the nonfiction books. And somebody made a kind of an offhanded comment to me, and they said, well, Jim, you need to entertain people. And then I thought, well, you know, that's a really nice approach. So how could I take, you know, my at least one potential vision of the future? Again, I'm not trying to be a prophet here, but one potential vision of the future, and rather than write about it in a nonfiction sense, let's create a story around it. And so that was sort of the genesis for my first novel, which is called 2020, which starts in the year 2019, but it leads up to 2020, in specific, the election, the presidential election in the United States. And I actually started writing that book in 2015.
Wow.
And some of the things that I wrote in there are kind of setting up now. And we all know, you know, what an adventuresome time it was for the 2016 presidential election. And we can kind of see how some things are setting up now. So the novel 2020 takes what we're having right now and projects it a few years into the future. And then it has that kind of blend of politics, financial crisis, which I talk about a little bit in my nonfiction books, but also cyber terror, which obviously is becoming much more prevalent in the news today and is, you know, greatly affecting people. So those are kind of the three blended things that you see in that first book, along with an introduction, if you will, of third-party politics, which I suspect that you may see in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple of things there. First off, what that you were saying originally about making that sort of story into a novel. A number of times we have people on the show who've written a novel about abuse, be it religious, sexual, physical, what have you, or an illness, and they put their story into a novel. You know, they basically put their story, but they write it in a novel stuff. And people, a lot more, take that in. People read it, and they put themselves into the character. They can put the this character is based on their life. It's not somebody else's life when they read it in a fictional sense of the story. And I think that's definitely an interesting thing. And the other thing, like you said about the cyber terrorism, I work in IT. One of the big things is, you know, no single point of failure. Well, I'm sorry, the internet is a single point of failure as I'm concerned, because if the internet goes down, the world stops these days. And I think that's something people just don't realize. You know?
No, that's absolutely right, Barry. And I kind of take that even a little bit further. My second fictional book in the Chandler Scott series is called Rebellion. And Rebellion is a book that kind of takes shape based on what happens at the end. The novel 2020 has kind of a big bombshell ending politically. And so the novel Rebellion takes over where 2020 left off. And in that, there is much more, let's call it cyber mayhem, if you will, that takes place. And that sort of cyber mayhem gets deep into, let's say, some of the things that we take for granted. And since you're in IT, you know this term Internet of Things.
Yes.
And I used to be myself in the networking world. And Internet of Things obviously will become much more prevalent in people's lives. Well, it also has more entry points for people that want to cause cyber mayhem. And so that's one of the things that you see in the second novel, Rebellion, is you see more cases of cyber mischief, but then the protagonist is kind of still going along and discovering some other things. And probably, I think, one of the most interesting, let's say, secondary characters that I've created comes about in the second novel. And he's actually what I call a cyber secessionist. So, you know, chew on that for a while and think about what a cyber secessionist is like. But it's actually kind of showing people what potentially could happen with somebody or a group of people as the world becomes much more decentralized in one sense, and but B, by the same token, so interconnected.
Yeah, I mean, everything in the cloud these days. You don't,
correct.
I mean, that's not diversifying, is it? I mean, that's centralizing.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because some of those themes are brought up, you know, periodically throughout different books, where the people that are creating the cyber mayhem take advantage of that centralization, right? Or therefore everything being in the ether, so to speak. And then you get that intersection of, you know, politics, economic, you know, the financial crisis stuff, but then you also have the cyber that starts impacting it as well. And you know, over the course of the last few months, you know, we've heard in the news politically that, you know, X organization or X country interfered in, you know, the election in the United States by virtue of, you know, doing certain things, and they're typically going to be in the cyber realm. And so, I explore some of those topics and take them a little bit further. And of course, you know, you're going along in this journey with the protagonist the whole time.
It's interesting. I was listening to something about a month ago, and people were saying that, you know, we're talking about like the days of photography these days is instant, you know, on your phone or what have you. But they reckon in about 20 years' time, there'll be no photographs for people to look back on, because if you store them somewhere, but the 20 years time, it will be a totally different format, and you most likely won't be able to see the old stuff. You won't be able to sort of pick up an album sort of like 50 years from 50 years ago and look at the pictures.
I saw something, it's interesting you mentioned that, I saw something a couple of days ago in the news that people were now have the ability to create 3D selfies. So you walked into this booth, and I guess there was a camera basically that took, you know, this picture of you, and then there was and I didn't see the entire process, but then you had this basically kind of this acrylic looking figure created of yourself, and I looked at a picture that was like a couple with a child, and it was pretty accurate.
I mean, the whole idea of like 3D printing, when you think about it, it frightens the life out of me. What people could be able to print and produce and use. I mean, there's paper guns out there now, you know, and stuff like that. It's horrendous to me.
Well, and that's something that in the second book, there's a greater exploration of people that want to separate or people that want to secede. And then, of course, I talk about the cyber session. And you'll see some of these characters talk about ways that they're preparing themselves for secession, and some of it has to do with, you know, them producing, if you will, their own tools or armaments and so forth.
Now, your main character, Chandler Scott, I mean, he's a TV journalist, isn't he, I think, if I remember right. You know, and yet he ends up deep in this cyber terrorist stuff. Is that, where did you get the idea of for him?
Well, Chandler Scott is, in the first book, he is a TV journalist with his own show working in a network that is based out of Buenos Aires, Argentina, and it's an international network. Think of it like a kind of a cross between like a CNN and Al Jazeera, you know, somebody that has an international footprint. Right. So he's got his own show, and his show basically talks about politics and financial events, and so that's what he's been doing. And as he develops through the novel 2020, part of it is, of course, covering the political process in the United States. And he has, throughout the course, really, of the three novels, he interacts greatly with what I'll call mentor characters. Since he's a younger journalist, you know, he's learning. Mm-hmm. But he has the benefit of these mentor characters that appear. One's his boss in the first book. Another one is a great friend and confidant of his, who he calls his mentor in the book. And then there's this mystery character that shows up in book one and goes through all three books that, you know, Chandler doesn't know initially, but he appears in his life at different points in time when Chandler really needs him.
Ah.
But Chandler can't figure out why it is, and this person keeps showing up. And this person kind of has this mysterious aura about him, and you don't really find out who this person is until the third book. So it takes really three books to kind of fully develop who this mystery character is. But again, to answer your question about how did he get involved in the cyber stuff, throughout the course of the plot in the novel 2020, as he gets further and further into the presidential election, the cyber tentacles of the things that are going on in the background, you know, he intersects with those. And his mentor, who is a guy named Axel Schultz, is someone that actually has contacts with cyber hacking organizations. And I created a cyber hacking organization, again, that's prevalent in all three books. It's called Omni. You know, and it's, if you think of the word Omni means kind of like everywhere.
Yep.
And that's kind of what they are. There's this international hacking organization that's seemingly everywhere. However, what they do is they kind of have a Robin Hood type characterization about them. They will sometimes attack organizations, corporations, or government that they think are doing wrong by people, and they'll maybe do some particular things to actually maybe help the common man. So they're kind of an enigmatic organization for governments because many governments hate them, including the government of the United States, but they yet at the same time they do good, and also Chandler's mentor, Axel, has contacts with this organization and is able to gather really, really important intelligence, which then, again, helps Chandler in his job as a journalist.
Now, 2020, the first one, Rebellion, the second book. Now we've got a third book, Division. And Chandler Scott's setting out to really sort out the big stuff in this, not just small bits, the whole government.
The third book, Division, is really a projection of a potential course to the United States. And this is a book that I had to kind of do some, let's say some, I got deeply involved with some organizations that I had to, let's say, do more research to try to make. And that's one thing I want to just point out. Anybody that's read any of the three books, some of the comments that I've heard from people is they think it's very realistic. And that's what I'm trying to convey. And ironically, there was a lady who's from your side of the pond, who did a review of Rebellion, the second novel, and her comment in Amazon was that this person, Jim, must work for the government or he must have some deep contacts in the government, which I don't, you know.
Right.
But I was very, you know, I was very contented by that because it told me that, okay, you know, the story seems very realistic.
Yeah.
But by the time you get to Division, you know, the country is really starting to tear at the seams, and you know, the president is still kind of carrying some things that occurred from the novel 2020. There is an actual movement going on right now in the United States. It's called an Article 5 Convention. And throughout the course of these books, you'll probably learn some things about, you know, hacking technology and so forth. But the other one you're kind of learn about is government, U.S. government. And processes, if you will. And so those things get sprinkled in. And so in the final book, Chandler is actually a guest at what's called an Article 5 convention. And just briefly, an Article 5 convention is a way for the citizens of the United States to, from a grassroots perspective, try to change the Constitution or, you know, do amendments and so forth.
Okay.
And so that's how he gets involved. But in the course of the involvement with that Article 5 convention, there's a whole lot more cyber mayhem. You know, there's interactions with the President of the United States and just a lot more action. And if when you progress from the very first book, 2020, to Rebellion to Division, each book progressively gets faster in pace. So the first book has more what I'll call background information that's mm-hmm. necessary for developing characters that then, you know, continue through the three books. It's also the longest book. Then the second book is a little bit shorter, and the third book is shorter than that. And part of the reason I did it that way is because that's how crises evolve. Crises evolve very slowly for a while, and then they happen suddenly.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of the when you read each book, you'll get that sense that as the book progresses, it the crisis develops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I won't reveal this, but the crisis may or may not be resolved in some of these books. But so then it leads you to the next book, and then each book progressively moves faster and faster.
One of the things when you look into things like this, or you start, you know, as Chandler most likely finds, is what's real and what's not real. You know, what's smoke and mirrors, and what's actually a real plot? You know, and is true. Does Chandler run into this sort of stuff?
Absolutely. So glad you pointed that out, because in 2020, there's probably less of that. But as you move to Rebellion, you know, he works with an independent filmmaker to start doing this investigatory process of secession and separatist movements in the United States. There's a lot of doubt about this person and who he is. And so Rebellion really carries that conflict of doubt throughout that second book. The third book has Chandler questioning himself because he
Right.
sees he sees himself interacting with people that he thinks that would be antagonists for him, but now all of a sudden they're assisting him. And so the third book, again, much more of that doubt that enters into Chandler's mind as you progress through it.
Good. When you first started, did you think it was going to be a trilogy? Is that what you planned? Or was it you started writing it and thought, oh my goodness, I've got a lot more to cover with this?
Yeah, I knew that there would be three books because I thought that there would be, I would need three books to cover what I wanted to cover and get it to a certain point. Depending on how things sell, there's definitely more books, and I definitely have a lot more storylines in my head that could follow the vision. But I wanted three books to be out. I wanted them all to be out before the 2020 election, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I also thought that in my wildest dreams, that I think personally that as we approach the next election cycle, I would love for a screenwriter to get a hold of some of these books, because I think if you released a book or a movie, excuse me, right before the election, and the movie was called 2020, you might get some attention for it, because people will. I guarantee you that if you thought this last election cycle was interesting, wait till the next one.
Yeah, I think as long as you've just got two parties in the country, it's going to be the same every time. Majority don't even sort of look to see about these people. They say, oh, well, you know, my parents were Republicans and I've been a Republican all my life, so I'm always going to vote Republican. Never mind what the policies are, never mind the people, et cetera. It's either black or white as far as they're concerned.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because in 2020, I introduced third parties.
Oh, good.
And these third parties are actually, they're not, let's say, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, where, you know, you see people running for office, but, you know, they don't win any electoral votes. They seldom win. These are parties that have actually had some success. So then they start to challenge, the established two-party political system. And they become very, very important in 2020. And I'll just leave it at that.
Right. The trilogy's finished. Will we see Chandler back again?
I hope so, but I think the readers, the reader community needs to speak, right? The reader community needs to read through it and say, hey, you know what? This is very interesting. I'd like some more, because it's publishing a book yourself, it takes a lot of effort to do this, especially in my case, because I want to make them as realistic as possible.
Exactly.
With a little more care.
Are you thinking about branching out into another, different character, different genre even?
I do. I've had an idea that I'm kind of percolating in the back of my head. This probably falls more into the realm of science fiction, where I want to explore what happens to somebody in a storyline. It's a death storyline, and it's looking at death a little bit differently, I think, than most people probably have before.
Oh, interesting, interesting. You said about the readers and that. What sort of response have you received?
Well, not what I like. And you know, it's very difficult. Obviously, you know, doing shows like this certainly helps. But if I looked at the degree of difficulty of producing a book, because I've done a lot of the stuff on the books myself, you know, cover design, a lot of the editing, and I run my own website, et cetera, et cetera. But by far, to me, the most difficult part of being an author is marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I say, I've had over 1,000 shows now, and the reason I even started doing the shows was because one of my own books I came out and I was on shows, and these people doing these shows are hopeless. You know, I ended up having to run the shows and thought, you know, I can do this. I enjoy a good chat. I started doing the shows, and the writing's gone by the wayside in the meanwhile. But that's the thing. A lot of people think, okay, my book's published. I've got a copy of my book in front of me. That's it. The hard work's all done. No, that's when the work starts.
Yes. There's a lot of work to do. And I feel really, really strongly about the books that I've written, and primarily because I think some of the people that have read the book and have written, or just written me personally, they say that it really hit close to home for them, that it made them really stop and think about what's going on in the country. Again, as told through a story, right, and so forth. And And everything that I see happening today that comes out of Washington, D.C., to me only strengthens, you know, the things that I've written about. It's just the key now, Barry, is just getting them in front of people.
As you say, that's the hard thing. I mean, it's great when people say, you told me this was going to happen.
Right.
Well, I know what's happened, and that is we've had a great show, but time is whizzing by as it always does when we've got such an interesting guest. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Yeah, so I have 6 books now. I have 3 in the Escaping Oz series, which those are the nonfiction books, which, again, talk about the economy, a little bit of the financial markets, financial investments, and so forth. The most recent book, Escaping Oz and Observer's Reflections, I'm really excited about because it doesn't get so much into the nuts and bolts of economics or even financial investments, but a lot of observational things about the Federal Reserve, generational discussions, you know, where I see some generational tension shortly ahead of us. In the last chapter, I talked about what I'll call social interaction. And a lot of that is based on some of the discord that you see in society and trying to get people to kind of take a step back from that and analyze objectively, you know, some of the discussions that we're having as a country. Talk a little bit about healthcare in that book as well.
Right.
The fictional series is based on Chandler Scott, a journalist who's the protagonist, taking a reader through what potentially could happen in the United States just a few years ahead of us, with the intersection of politics, financial crisis, and cyber terror. And, of course, you know, some interesting characters that get blended in there as well. All of that information, what I would say for people is come to my author website, which is jimmosquera.com. So that's JimmosQuera.com. And you can find information on all of my books, where to buy them, get autographed copies, and so forth. My books are actually, they're in print, Kindle. There's up version, so there's a lot of things out there, and I'm actually recording right now my first book,
Okay.
The latest Escaping Oz book, which is a pretty big chore in itself. So
right.
JimMosquera.com is a central place to find out everything.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Good luck with the books, and perhaps you'll come back when the next one comes out.
Absolutely, Barry. Thanks for having me on tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Jim Mosquera. And as you said, jimmosquera.com is his site, JimMosquera. And you've got his non-fiction books there, which is the Oz series. And then his fiction books, a great trilogy there, Chandler Scott thriller series is come under. That's 2020, Rebellion and Division. As you say, and as we talk about the stuff, it's very relevant. And let's hope it doesn't get as bad as it can do, but it's well worth a read. Look out for it. JimMosquera.com. You can find them there. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back on Tuesday when my guest is Elizabeth Upton. So we'll find out more about that on